Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ryan Hayes, and I'm back with another episode of Access Radio Live, hosted with Blog Talk Radio. Today is, good old Saturday, October 26th. Yeah, it means Halloween's on the way. So, yeah, for those of you guys that are into that Halloween type deal, that's great. However, I'm not. I'm too old for that. But anyways, we got an exciting show for you tonight. I'm going to have on the show Mike Dalton. He's a wrestler at West Forsyth High School. He was the 2019 state champion at 113 pounds. This has been for like a long time. I've known him ever since he was about 3 or 4 years old. I know his dad, who's a coach. His dad coaches at the world we now, pretty good wrestling club in the Triad area, Greensboro, High Point, surrounding areas. That's where Mike Dalton goes and does a lot of his wrestling. So the reason why I got Mike Dalton on the show is because he's got a quite bit of a story. And so what do I mean by that is he actually done not the unthinkable, but it kind of is. So before even getting all that, I'll just kind of give you the kind of background story was he won the state championship as a junior. And he spent the whole year being ineligible. So essentially the way it works is that if you start a semester, because wrestling starts during the first semester and ends during the second semester, if you're ineligible the first semester, you have to sit out. By the time you regain your eligibility, you're probably down to about maybe 3 weeks left during the season. Well, so essentially that's what happened to Mike Dalton. So he had zero high school matches under his belt, and he went into the regional kind of last seed because it's based on records on a 15-match minimum. So if you don't have your 15 matches or your 15 wins or if you don't have 15 matches, they end up plugging in like invisible losses, so to speak. Now, you don't really take them, but they have to be plugged in as losses just per the seeding criteria for the regional wrestling tournament. And so he ended up having maybe about three or four actual high school matches. So anyways, he gets seeded. He's the 16th seed in the regional, goes on and wins the regional, then goes on and wins the state title, all without even like having an actual high school season. Now, granted, it wasn't like he sat on his butt the whole semester. He was working out at the club team that I just mentioned, Hard Knocks. But anyways, I'm going to let Mike tell the story, and I'm getting ready to get him on here after the pause. Hey, Mike, do I got you on?
Huh?
Hey, can you hear me? You're live. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Yeah, so everybody, I got Mike Dalton on. So, Mike, before we even go, I know you heard my little spiel, little introduction on you. Before we even get into what transpired last season, just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became a wrestler, how you got into the sport.
Well, I got into it when I was 5. Technically, I was running around on the mats when I was, like, born, basically. But my dad was a coach, so I was pretty young. He had me in tournaments when I was 5. I don't really... I've been doing it for a while, but I don't know.
Right. Like, you don't.
It was mostly just I started doing it when I was young, and then I just kept doing it.
Right. So, just to tell us a little bit about like your walk to kind of get to where you are now in this sport, being a state champion.
Well, when I was young, it was mostly just me going to tournaments and stuff, practicing a little at the schools and stuff that my dad was coaching at. And then, like, I went to I was on a couple of, like, AAU teams and practiced at their stuff for a while. And then when I was about the fourth or fifth grade, I started going to School of Hard Knocks and practicing there, and then my dad started coaching there.
So tell me a little bit about that club and what it's done for you.
It's helped a lot. I think it's just the fact that the way he teaches, it's like you did it or you're going to basically take some punishment. It's like if you can't learn how to do it in a certain time, then there's a problem with you and it's not really the case. You're just not doing it. Because after a month or two of hitting the same thing over and over again, if you don't know by then, like, there's a, like, I don't know what to tell you.
Right. That means you're not going to know it.
Yeah. I mean, mostly it's just, also there's, like, a lot of good partners to drill with. I've been wrestling high schoolers since I was in the sixth grade, so it's like, I upped my confidence when I was younger.
For sure, for sure. Now, when you say he, are you referring to Coach Bobby Lloyd?
For the most part, yes, but my dad runs a lot of it now, too, so it's kind of like a split thing. Normally Bob runs the newer people for about a month or two, and he'll have, like, just them individually with maybe a couple people, and then once they start to click, they'll move into, like, the wide group ran by my dad.
Yeah, Bobby Lloyd getting kind of old. I don't know how much he can get out there on that map. If you guys don't know Bobby Lloyd, he's one of the nicest people you ever meet. At least he's nice to me. That's a big dude, so I hate for him to ever be mad at me. But he is a pretty nice guy. And I've been down there to that Hard Knocks facility. It's a pretty good facility. They're in High Point. I believe it's on Baker Road, if I can remember. I'm about 100% sure it's on Baker Road in High Point. All right. So Michael, you know, we talk about Hard Knocks, and so you started out at when you got into high school, it was the expectation, because I know your dad at the time was coaching at West Forsyth, that you would probably go to high school at West Forsyth, but you ended up going to Mount Tabor. So tell me a little bit about that.
Okay, so my dad quit coaching at West about my 7th grade year, I think, and I was supposed to go to South State, originally. That was the plan at first, and then back to, like, about mid-year, grade year, and my dad had gotten a place right next to Tabor and was like, he got like an assistant coaching job. So I moved for the part over there, and I just went to school there.
Right. So, anyways, fast forward it to now. You're going into your sophomore year. You're at West Forsyth. The coaching has changed over there. So. Those of you who don't follow sport, or those of you who do follow the sport, for about 3 years, they had Maurice Atwood over there, who was a pretty good coach in his own right. Went over there. His first year, his team lost three times. Then the next year, His team went undefeated, won it. Then a year after that, his team went undefeated and won it. And then Atwood resigned and went to another school. And then they get another coach, Jason Hooker, who is another good coach in his own right. Coach Hooker, if you really don't know him, coached Coach Austin Trotman, who was one of the best college-level wrestlers to ever come out of the state of North Carolina, homegrown, next to Michael Machiavello, who graduated from Monroe Valley High School. He ended up winning a national title for NC State 2 years ago. But Austin Trotman, who Jason Hooker coached, placed third at nationals and at the NCAA nationals. But anyways, enough of that. Coach Hooker is the coach at West Forsyth. Now you're there, Michael. Just tell me a little bit about going into your sophomore year at West.
At first, I decided to transfer during the pre-transfer period, and my dad was also in the run for the head coaching job, and then
right.
He didn't get it, but then he decided that I was going to go there anyway, mostly because, at Mount Tabor, we didn't really have a nice our team fell apart, and, nobody wanted to be there, and it was all negative anyway, so it was I really want to go somewhere where everyone just thought that they didn't want to be there. So we transferred. And then sophomore year, I started at West, and it's been pretty cool ever since. My dad stayed on my sophomore year, then he left my junior year. But I think for the most part, sophomore season, I had a good season. It's just but coaching-wise, it's pretty good. And, this year, we got even more coaches, so it's even better.
Right, so your sophomore year, the team, and I like talking about this because it really does show how you can really overcome adversity when the team that was there under Coach Atwood, some of those guys have never lost a match. And so when Coach Hooker comes, the team starts losing, and some people didn't know how to handle it, and some people who were contributors on the team ended up quitting because they thought the team wasn't going to be anything. And then about midway through the season, Coach Hooker found a way to pull it together, and that team went on to the to go to the state duels, and then on to the state dual finals. Really, after beating a very very tough Davy County High School. And then, West Forsyth kind of fell just short of winning. It came down to the last match where they had to put a freshman in the lineup that never wrestled before against an experienced wrestler from Cary High School, which traditionally Cary High School has always been a powerhouse in wrestling. But anyways, be that as it may, you go through your sophomore year and then tell us a little bit about this whole thing where you became ineligible. What you feel comfortable talking about? Tell us exactly what happened. It's kind of the story's pretty much out there, but feel free to be open and as candid as you want to.
Well, for the most part, I think it really came down to the fact that after season sophomore year, when I basically blew my chance of doing well at state. It's I even talked about this with Booker. He's it happens to everybody. They have it's a post-loss depression type thing. And it's whenever it happened, I kind of just fell off school altogether. And I don't know why. I was missing quite a bit of class. And some of the classes, I don't know, the way it works, it kind of felt weird to me the way we did it. The way an eligibility normally works, fail two classes, you're ineligible. I only failed one class, but I didn't have a passing grade for the second semester of two other classes. Like they counted, they added it up and made it two Fs, and they really didn't even tell me that I was ineligible. Like, I wasn't on the list of like endangered wrestlers or endangered athletes, and they sent it to me first. I wasn't on there at all, and then we didn't really find out that I wasn't going to be able to wrestle until about a month before the season started.
Right, and guys, I'm gonna tell you this just because I've known Mike Dalton for a while. I'll tell you, if you can't have a conversation with him, he's an extremely intelligent kid, but the key word is kid, and as kid, sometimes you kind of lose where your priorities lie. But anyway, so you find out, Michael, that you're ineligible. Tell me a little bit about all of that and the effect that it had on you.
Well, that day, that, like, my dad went in to argue it and, like, showed, like, the transcripts and how it worked, and told him that the way they did their system worked, it was different. He was like, well, that doesn't make any sense. But that day, he picked me up. I was supposed to go to the meeting, but they said I didn't need to be there, so didn't go. But when he picked me up that day, we literally just went straight home and started practicing at home. Like, it didn't really change anything for us. So, like, we'll be back in time for a reason, so you might as well keep working. So, basically, I think I might have worked out more when I wasn't wrestling than when I normally do. Like, I would have workouts at home at least every day. And if I didn't work out at home, it was because I was at practice at my club team. And because I couldn't practice at best, it was like that was the only thing that I could do. So, and then we don't have practice every day, so when I didn't have practice, I would just go home, work out, or sometimes do it with Bree, if she was there. Like, we'd roll down on the mat, and I would get some extent.
Right, and for those of you all that don't know who Bree is, so he's referring to a young lady named Breonna Neal, who actually wrestled at West Forsyth. She's a female wrestler who was one of the best female wrestlers out there. She is now the head coach at the Ferrum, just up in Virginia, just over the border up in Virginia. She's very, very good on the freestyle level. So you're ineligible. You're doing all of the practices. So what tournaments and were you going to? Like, what were you doing to kind of get competition, Michael, during the time you were in the NL?
Well, I only had one tournament that I went to, and it was some open national tournament in Georgia. But for the most part, my dad was getting me 6-minute matches at practice. He would turn the clock on, get someone around my weight, and we would just wrestle for six. We would have three periods and just go.
All right. So you get into, you start getting into where, and I'm going to tell you guys, it's funny because, everybody would come up to me knowing, that I'm close with a lot of wrestlers at West Forsyth. They would come to me and they would ask me about Michael. What's going on with Mike Dalton? You know, he's not on track wrestling, and I straight up tell him, hey, he's ineligible, but he'll be back. And it was quite a story. I couldn't, if I had a dollar for everybody that asked me, was Mike coming back? And then everybody started to write him off. Well, if he comes back, he's not going to have any matches, and he's not going to do good. But of course, boy, did Michael ever prove him wrong. So tell me about the first match that you came back where that you were cleared to actually wrestle and compete for the high school.
I didn't wrestle any season matches. I got back in time for our first state duels meet. We lost the meet, so we didn't have any more matches after that. But since the duel meets, like, state duel meets don't count on your record, I didn't have any matches going in the regionals. But literally, after that match, I think a lot of people stopped thinking that I wasn't back, because I had a kid that had been wrestling for, like, a long time. So.
Right. So, you already knew the expectation of regionals. You knew you would automatically get 16th seed and already wrestle basically a stud off gate. So, tell me your mindset going into regionals.
Regionals, since the region didn't fill up, I ended up getting the 15. And I knew the kid that was the 2 seed. He also goes to School of Hard Knocks. And my thoughts going into that was, I haven't wrestled a kid in a while, so I don't really know what to expect. And at the gate, the first 30 seconds, I didn't really wrestle good. He almost took me down, and it was kind of like everyone was watching. They were thinking that I was just going to lose first round. And then after that, I got a takedown about a minute in, and then I just started turning him. And I think I checked him early in the third.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you get there, you get past that match, and then you get past the guy who probably y'all picked was kind of slated to win, and you get that very, very tough match, the second match, and then you get the thing, you're in the finals, and then you didn't wrestle in the finals because the kid that was in the finals had the injury default, so you're essentially regional champion. Now, did you expect for it to go that way, or just tell me a little bit about what you expected, how that to go? I mean, I don't want to say that you didn't expect yourself not to win it, but just tell me what was going through your head a little bit.
Well, at first, I was like, after I won my first two, and I went into the semis the next day, when I had to wrestle JT, I mean, I was kind of nervous for it because I haven't ever wrestled him before, and I've seen him compete with, like, really good kids, and I've seen him beat really good kids, so I was like, I can't make him flout, but I was like, in my head, I was like, we need to win this match to prove a point. Like, that was basically the home setter for the rest of, like, the state.
Right.
Because
yeah.
After I wrestled him, it was more of like everyone saw me as just as competitive as they are.
Right. Well, if people followed the sport, they would understand that you just wasn't just any regular 15th seed, knowing how long you've been around. And of course, JT's a force in his own right. You know, you got a good if you get it depends. You know, JT type of kid, depends on a week. But when he's on his game, he's unstoppable. He's a pretty good wrestler. But when he's off his game, even he'll tell you he's off his game. But he's a great kid. You know, doesn't talk a lot, but that was a tough match. You get by it, and then you go into the regional finals, and the injury to Riley Edwards from Northwest Guilford has to take the injury default. So then, you know, you Trent, that's, you know, you fast forward, state tournament starts up. So tell me a little bit about your mindset going into the state tournament.
My mindset was basically just win. I mean, I know I got by pretty easily at regionals. I kind of, like, I didn't have a close match in the region, so I don't really, I knew that it was going to be different. Like, everyone knew it wasn't like one kid. Like, your first round is still good. They still got it. So when I went into it, the kid I had first round was probably one of the better 4 seeds in the entire tournament. But, I mean, I knew that he was good. He actually, that kid actually had an overtime match that I hadn't watched. So I knew he was tough. But I mean,
right.
After I gave up the first takedown in that match, and then I got out, and then I got a takedown in the next period. But after I got my takedown, it was kind of like my top game. It was, and score was like 16-3.
Right. And then, of course, you go on to get into the state finals. Richie Rizzuto, I believe, is the guy's name that you had in the state finals. So you're going into that match. Has it set in or dawned on you, like, exactly what you're getting ready to accomplish? Not only win a state title, but doing it in the way that you did it without even basically wrestling, but one match, like, when did it all kind of dawn on you, like, I just did that? Or, you know, when you went in the finals, like, did I could do that, and it would just be a good story down the road, you know, for anybody that's willing to sit and tell it. Just going a little bit about that.
Right before my semis match, I had multiple people come up and be like, if you do this, everyone was talking about how their coaches were talking about me and how they said, like, it had never been done. And I think the fact that I was looked down upon it at the beginning, the fact that I was actually in the running to do it, kind of made me want to do it more. Because when you're, like, the underdog, I don't know what it is. Like, sophomore year, I was predicted to at least make it to the finals. But, I didn't do well at all. But this year, like, no one even expected me to make the region. And then I think that really just pushed me where I was at that point, where I could win. Because I feel like you look down on everything, you can't do it, it makes you want to do it more.
For sure. So you're in your finals match, and you win. You go on to win, and you know you put to the arms of your head coach. What were you thinking there at that moment?
Well, the first thing I did is, like, me and Richie were really close, so I wasn't gonna showboat it and just, like, do the average huge celebration at the end. I just kind of, like, my whole thought was my team and my family were sitting in the stands. I'm going to point at them and say I did it for them. That's who I was doing it for. My dad was leaning over the rail at the time. So I ran that way. And then when the mat, like, after we shook hands, I hugged Hooker and I tried to take off upstairs, but I got caught by interviewers, so I didn't make it.
Yeah, usually you got the paper there, your hometown paper that wants to kind of interview you, because if they don't interview you, they'll probably never catch you. So they got to you, and then you come up there, you get up there and you celebrate and all that good old stuff, and then you realize that that you won. So, but anyways, though, you know, you got there and you're state champion, and now we got to fast forward it to this season where you are going to be eligible going into your senior year. So tell me a little bit about your expectations this year.
Well, it's going to feel different being able to, like, wrestle early on, because honestly, it's been so long since I've, like, joined in on the team that it's kind of like I don't even remember what it's like. It's just, I don't know, it's kind of this thing going on in my head. Is this actually, like, season? Like, the whole, like, for the last month now, I'm, like, about to start. Like, in my head, I'm like, what's that? So, I mean, we'll find out in the next few days, because Wednesday is our first official season practice.
Yeah, for sure. And you You know, you guys hydrated already. Who are some of the people or some of the kids on the team that you kind of wrestle with to kind of keep your game up?
Well, the only two people I drill with now, I'll drill with Evan and I'll drill with Joe. I normally drill with Joe when he's trying to work on his stuff because, like, he asks questions, so he likes to get better. If we're going live, I normally go with Evan because, as of now, me and him are the only two that compete with each other, like, at our weight. So it's kind of like, I don't know. I'll drill with Kyle Perkins sometimes too, but he's about 150 now, so it's not really.
Not practical. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I understand that. So, people that want to follow you and follow your season, where can they follow you at on social media?
My Instagram is itsmikey, and that's just about all I have. I mean, I have some wrestling stuff on my YouTube channel, which is also called It's Mikey, but I'm thinking about going through stuff about, like, the season on there too.
Right. So, which brings me to another question, because this is something that I didn't know about you. You're also into kind of podcasting and filming, so tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I got into it. All right, freshman year, I didn't really have any clue of what I was going to do. About the end of freshman year, I started watching a lot of YouTube and stuff, and then started to, like, try to figure out, like, how they do it. And then, like, sophomore year, I got into the video and stuff, started editing stuff on my phone. And then junior year, I took a digital media class at the Career Center, and I don't know, I kind of, like, fell in love with the video in it. And, I'm in the second year of that class now, but I'm thinking about going to film school after I graduate, and I don't know where yet because it's kind of hard to find a film school. I think, I don't know what it is, it's just like, it's kind of like calming to do it, and actually, I just had a short 20-minute update podcast with Evan. Now me and him are doing them weekly together, and then we'll get occasional guests.
Right.
Like, me and
so
him.
You,
so,
yeah. So you just, so you actually, so you did a podcast already, you said?
Yeah, I started it, I think about a year ago, but it was like I was just like basically test running it and doing like family members and stuff. And I recently turned those into drafts, and they're no longer like online. I just use an app, and it literally not only will it post them everywhere you need for it, but it'll also like it'll connect you with like sponsorships, like give you stuff so you can sponsor the app that you use, and it's like I think it's like it's like every so many views, like I think it's like a penny a view or something like that. Like, I mean, it kind of seems cool if it worked out. But I don't know. It's just fun to do. But I've recently become. I did something with Evan, and I've done one with Gus, who graduated. So.
So, yeah, you're talking about Matthew Gutierrez, and then you did one with Evan LaBella. Well, yeah, so, I mean, it's a podcast, and it's great. I mean, it's something that it's a hobby that I started where, you know, I was able to get some of the some of the top wrestlers around the country on it. Now, I'm working on it now, so, you know, it kind of prompted me to try to keep doing it and doing it again because I get to, you know, hear people like you tell stories about, you know, state tournament and stuff. But I'm gonna wrap this up, Mikey. But before I do, is there anything you want to get off your chest? Anything you want to say?
I I mean, not really. I mean, if you want to go check out the podcast that I'm starting, it's called the Scrawny Boys Podcast, if you like that name. But, I mean, other than that, it's kind of just my whole story that I told is mostly just like a perseverance story. Like, I feel like the way my story went could have went the other way if I said, screw this, because I'm not wrestling. Because a lot of people do that. But I feel like the fact that I stuck to it reason I won.
Right. So with your Scrawny Boy podcast, I'm just wondering, what's the subject matter on there? What do you guys just talk about? It's just day-to-day things, being 17, 18-year-old kids, or just whatever comes up?
It's just a comedy-driven podcast. Like, we're going to shoot jokes back and forth, talk about whenever we have guests, we're going to, like, basically do an interview, and then... I mean, we're going to probably do some Q&As on there with whoever
right.
we get to ask.
So, you know what? Thanks for being on mine. I'd like to be on yours someday. I'm pretty sure I got a good bit I could talk about if it'd help you. And, guys, because
yep.
I do get a lot of people to watch. Just check it out. It's the Scrawny Boys Podcast. The first is that can you find us on YouTube? Where exactly can you find us at?
It's on Spotify. I think it's on Google Podcasts. And it's on a couple others, like Stitcher and a couple other streaming platforms. But the main one is Spotify, because that's what most people have.
Right. That app posted on there for you?
Yeah, it's you literally just record, upload it to the app, and then the app will share it. And once you get a following up, I think it... Like, it commutes with other streaming platforms, but bigger streaming platforms will reject your podcast. So whenever you get, like, a certain amount of following on it, your podcast will even, like, go on to, like, Apple Music and stuff.
Well, that's great. Well, good luck with that. Yeah. Well, good luck with that. Good luck with the season coming up. I want you to have a injury-free season, man. Keep it going. Try to get you another state title this year, man. And before I let you go, because I keep on coming with one other question, I know you're 120 pounds, but are you trying to wrestle at the next level, or are you just trying to maybe focus on film school and be done with it?
It really just depends on how I'm feeling. Like, I know I could do it, but I've had people talk to me. I'm even supposed to go on a visit like next week, but I don't 100% know yet. I don't really have I don't know what it is, but like my plan was just to go to film school. I don't really care how I get there. It's just if I also like for a problem, so kind of hard to get in somewhere like big. So I might wrestle in college, but it just kind of depends.
Well, either way, you're an intelligent kid. The sky's the limit for you. I appreciate you being on. And, hey, you know, just hit me up when you want me to be on yours. I'm pretty sure I'll make it entertaining for you.
Yep, got you.
All right, thanks, Mikey.
All right, see ya.
See ya. Hey, so yeah, that was Mike Dalton on the on my podcast. I actually just found out about this film stuff that he did a couple. Well, no, I feel like he might have told me at some point, and it kind of slipped my mind. But hey, what a nice kid if you ever meet him. Like I said, he's never a lost word. He can talk your ear off, and I know his dad pretty well. His dad can talk your ear off, so they got a lot to. Between the two, it would make for an interesting ride if you were able to ride like on one of those long 4 or 5 hour wrestling trips. You know, you ain't got to worry about somebody not talking. He's a good kid, so I wish him nothing but the best of luck. As someone that I've known his whole life, basically. So, yeah. So, thanks, Mike, for being on my podcast, and. That has been another episode of Access Radio Live.